I guess you would say in a baseball sense, I'm a designated hitter. So I'm not sure about my average, though, but I'm always glad to help out in any way I can, anywhere. And the gospel is the main thing. Jesus is the main thing. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And you know, I would that every one of our churches would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world. He said in one place, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Not just a few, not just one or two, but he said, "I will draw all who will hear his voice and harden not their hearts." If you have your Bible with you today, how many have your Bibles with you today? Now, I always say whenever that, do you have your Bible with you? I say the reason is that we're going to be judged out of the things that this Bible teaches, these 66 books. And it's kind of a guideline. It points us in the direction that we're to go. But, you know, it's also a book of comfort. It's also a book of example of how that God has worked in the lives of his people and in the lives of the characters that we know of in the scriptures. And so today we pray that this will be a time of comfort. We're living in a time I never thought that I would see come to pass. And there are things that used to be wrong, now they're right. Now there are things that are right, they're considered wrong. And connecting the two is a gray area in here. And no wonder there's so much confusion. No wonder there's so much doubt and wonder on the part of even God's people. Is this ever going to straighten itself out? Will we ever see those days of long ago? Well, we just have to keep following Jesus, as the song says. And we have to remember what the book teaches us about right and about wrong and how to be saved. So if you have your Bible with you today, turn with us to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, and in the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Now, this book was written as Isaiah was a prophet unto the kingdom of Judah. At this time, the kingdoms were divided. The kingdom was divided. Judah, down to the south, still tried as much as they could to cling to the worship of Jehovah, the true God. The 10 tribes to the north began to take upon themselves idolatry. They began to immerse themselves in the religions of the Canaanites and the Amalekites and the Ammonites. And we find today that some of the things that they did are not too much different than what is going on today. And you might say, "Preacher, what do you mean by that?" Well, one of the things in the worship of the Canaanite gods was that in order to have a bountiful harvest, they would sacrifice their children. They would offer them upon the idol of Molech and of Baal. And you know, I think that something similar like that is happening today. Very similar. I believe children are being offered upon the altar of political correctness. I think they're being offered on the altar of what the trend is and what now we're told is the norm. And I pray today God sends us a revival. I pray that he sweeps through this nation and sends a revival our way. Well, that's not the sermon. But as Isaiah was to Judah, we also find that Micah, Nahum, and I could go on with all the different prophets. They were sent to every one of those kingdoms to warn them, to warn them. And I believe that we have warning today. In the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, And starting with the 25th verse, we find these words. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One, that is God. He said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bring out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, that is, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the universe itself. Every one of those, even things that we've not discovered yet in science, God has a name for it. He knows. He put it into motion. And it says that for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now this would be our text this morning if God would be our helper as we stand. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. If this is correctly read today, the 25th through the 31st verses of the 40th chapter of the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord. That would be my theme today. In fact, all the way as we traveled up Highway 83, that just kept coming to us, coming to us. It came to us through the week. They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. We can't turn to anyone else. We can't turn to the government. And I'm not here to bash the government. I'm thankful I'm born in this country. I'm thankful that men sacrificed their lives to give us the freedom that we have today, the freedom to be in the forum of debate, to work together that this nation might stay together. And do you know why I think that this nation came into being? That it might be an harbinger, that it might be a haven, if you will, in order that God is preached and the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to a lost and dying world. You're not going to find too many countries that are found in Europe and in Asia where that we have the freedom that we have today. There are some that when they do it, they have to do it in secret, and they have to hope that the secret police has not seen them gather together with other people. This is a privilege. This is a golden opportunity. And I pray that God will help us, that we might take advantage of it. But I'm not here to talk about the politics. If it leaks out, just forgive me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What we see going on in our world today can actually drain us of our power and drain us of ourselves. What we see happening around us, we never thought that we would get this far. To be quite honest, I thought that it would have ended a long time ago. But God has a day in His mind that He has not revealed to anyone else when He's going to draw all of this to a close and fulfill the final prophecies that we find in the book of the Revelation. But in the meantime, we find ourselves cast down, drained, You know, it almost would behoove you, and I'm not telling you how to conduct your life today, but it would almost behoove us to get away sometimes from the media and what's going on and what we view, and use that time to get along with God. But they that wait upon the Lord, even in spite of what was going on in Judah, what was going on in Israel, Judah was just beginning to adopt some of the practices that was going on up in Israel. And it became to the point that you could go into the temple over here, or you could go into a grove and worship the gods of the Canaanites, as we mentioned a while ago. Judah was beginning to slip. Judah was beginning to backslide, if you will. And God said unto Judah through the prophets, you saw what happened to the kingdom of Israel up to the north. You saw how that the Assyrians swooped down and carried them off into captivity. You saw that. And I give you warning, he said to Judah in many instances in the scriptures. I give you warning. He said, the same thing will happen to you. Don't think that you can worship Baal on one hand and then go into the temple of God on the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve the gods of this world. I want you to know that trends will come and trends will go. Governments will rise up, and our confidence, yes, pray for our government. Pray for those that are in authority. But our trust is going to have to be beyond the government. Our trust is going to have to be beyond whoever is sitting in power. This is a condition that Judah found itself in. They were beginning to slip. And I pray that we, as a nation, as a church, and I'm not talking about you all in particular, but I pray that we don't slip and backslide any farther. I pray that there's someone, as the old saying goes, will scotch the wagon, if you will. Yeah, I know those old terms. I paid attention to my grandmother. But to scotch the wagon, to stand steadfast, and even though that we feel alone, and even though that we feel like we're the only ones that are left, take heart today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Whenever that it seems like there's nothing left within you, whenever that it seems like you don't have the strength to even tolerate and to take in what's going on, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Now, there's several ways to wait upon the Lord, and not just one way, but several ways. We find that people that serve royalty, they serve aristocracy and hierarchy. I noticed on a program how that there gentlemen that would sit off to the side of the table where that they would be eating, and they were called footmen. I have no idea why they called them a footman. To me, they were servers. But nevertheless, they waited on the master at the table. They waited on him. If he needed something, snapped his finger, there they were to see to his needs and to see what he wanted. I want you to know God needs every one of you today. Be a footman unto him. Wait upon him. Ask him, Lord, how can you use me? How can you use me to benefit? How can you use me in order that I might be a beacon and a light unto a lost and dying world? And I want you to know Satan will get in your head and he'll say, well, you have no talent. You have no ability. You're not a preacher. And I want you to know, for the gospel to go out and for people to see light in us, it's more than the preacher standing in the pulpit. It's more than him. It is you. You are the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. Every one of you. There is no one today that is insignificant in the sight of God. He needs every one of you. He needs you. He needs you. He needs you. And you are equally important in His sight. And He has not got any other plan or anyone else in mind that He's going to use in order that the light of the gospel might shine forth unto a lost and dying world. And preacher, I don't understand the Bible. I mean, what good can I do there? Go to the one who wrote it and ask Him to reveal it to you. And I want you to know that the same Spirit that inspired these scriptures, the same Spirit of God can open up your understanding to it. And my friend, look into its pages and there'll be something there for you that speaks to you today. There have been times whenever that, Lord, I don't understand what this means. I don't understand what this is pertaining to. And I'll go to this scholar, and I'll go to that scholar, and I'll pick up this book, and I'll study. But then there comes that time whenever that I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, God opens it up. And it's always for a benefit. It's always for a blessing. It's always sometimes for me to take to someone who's sick and afflicted, or somebody who's going through a great trial, or someone who is in need, someone who's discouraged, depressed. Wait upon the Lord. And you wait upon the Lord, you go to others and you minister unto them. Do you know today what the Bible says? It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." As you wait upon the Lord, and you get close to Him, and you come near to Him, He'll reveal some things to you. He will show you. He will open up things to you. And here's where our strength comes from. It says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." Notice He said, renew. Renew. We have to be renewed. Did you know that? After that He saves us, my friend, He didn't save necessarily the flesh, but there are times whenever that we need renewing. Now, I know that they have a car now. I don't have one. But they've got a car now that you can plug it into something or plug it into an outlet. It has to be charged up. Now, I don't know how that's going to work out in the end, as long as they've got enough power, you know, in all those outlets all over our country. But you know, that car that uses that battery, it's going to run out at some point in some time. The same thing with an internal combustion vehicle. There comes a time when we look at the gauge and, okay, it's time to refuel. It's time to renew. We're no different. There are times whenever that we've got to renew. We've got to get in touch with God. We've got to come into His presence. We've got to get into His Word. And I want you to know today that when we do, it renews our strength. It renews our inner being. It gets us back into the center of things where we need to be. My friend, I have to admit today, and if she was here, she would tell you, I can't leave this alone. Now, I've got it turned off, I think. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to hear an Indiana Jones tune if somebody calls. But I spend a lot of time on this. Now, I'm not saying the internet and all of this is wrong, but I know that it captivates me. And sometimes, if it's laying to the side of the table, Shirley will get it and she'll hide it. Yeah. And I kind of go through a withdrawal. But I need that. I need that. And it's a reminder that I need this. That my strength comes not from the opinions of others and what the trend of the nation is, our culture, our society, but it reminds me where my strength comes from. God will renew your strength. I'm not telling you to give it up, but let's just put it in proper perspective. Our help comes from the Lord. It says they'll renew their strength. It'll be like they mounted up with wings of an eagle. Have you ever watched an eagle? Oh man, they are majestic. I could watch them all day. Whenever that they glide along, you don't see an eagle going like that. Usually, he's just catching the wind, catching the breeze, just gliding along. And I'd like to know their fishing secrets. I mean, I can't with all the Bass Pro stuff even catch a little perch. And here one of them comes up with a huge trout. But you notice that when he catches that current, when he catches that air, his strength is renewed. And that's how it is with us. We'll have wings of eagles, where that underneath our wings are the mercies of God, is the power of God, is the Spirit of God that helps us when we're struggling, whenever that we're trying to move through this society, this culture, this heartache that it causes us. God will take us and help us to glide. Now, He doesn't take away necessarily always the problem. He does in His own time, but I want you to know this today. He will renew your strength. And you know, He'll take you up higher. You know, you'll have as much power with God as you want to get close to Him. If you want to be far from Him, there's no power. But if you want to get close to Him, it renews your strength. And like that eagle, it will kind of help you soar above. And you know, if you've ever ridden in a plane, the few times whenever I had nerve enough to look out the window, oh man, it's a different perspective. It's a whole different thing. You get to see, you know, how that the land lays and how that it is, but you don't see just a little burnt patch like we've got in some of our yards and farms and everything. You don't see just one burned patch, but you get to see, well, something good is going on here, or look what they're doing over here. It gives you perspective. And when you take flight with the Lord, I want you to know that it'll give you perspective as to what's going on. Coupled with this word, do you know that as you read into the book of the Revelation, that it tells us what the final outcome is going to be? It says that we're going to go through some things, but brother, whenever that we mount up with wings as eagles, it says that we'll run and not faint. To run the race. Paul said in one place in the book of Hebrews, he said, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, prophets, disciples, apostles that have gone through persecution, gone through trial, gone through hardship, forebears that came to this land that under great derision and persecution, all of those, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, what does he say to do? We're not to mark time. We're not to just give up. But he said, let us run the race with patience. You're in a race. And you know, the race doesn't go to the swiftest. It doesn't go to the best. It goes to those that are patient, waiting upon the Lord, drawing close to Him, renewing their strength. And he says, what your focus is to be on is one thing. One thing. Not Anderson Cooper. not whoever is on Fox or whatever, not who's in the White House, not who you want to elect. Those things are fine. But we're to look to Jesus. We're to look to Jesus today. Do you know how those martyrs went through what they did in the days that are past and gone? Do you know how they were able to be sustained? Do you know how they were able to allow themselves to be tied to a stake and burned for what they believed? It was because their eyes were not upon the persecutors or why they were being persecuted. Their eyes were upon Jesus. We find that whenever that Stephen went through what he did, and he was stoned. Do you know that he was looking to Jesus? It says in the book of Acts, he looked up and he said, "I see the heavens open." And he said, "There is Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." Do you know he's standing at your right hand, standing at the right hand of the Father even now for you? You might say, "Well, you know, I just don't know whether he is." Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. And he's being your advocate. He's being your mediator. He's being your intercessor. You can go to him and you can tell Jesus anything. Anything. He knows our secret sins. He also knows our heartache. He also knows whenever that we're sad over the loss of loved ones. Do you know what the shortest verse of Scripture is in the Bible? Jesus wept. That's right. Jesus wept over the death and the burial of a friend that he had been in his home. He understands. He can sit down with you and he can say, "Look, I know that your father died, mother died," whatever the case might be. And he said, "I understand. Let me tell you about Lazarus losing him. But let me also tell you how that there is hope beyond the grave. Because, my friend, it didn't end with him just weeping over Lazarus. He went to the grave of Lazarus." And do you know why he said, "Lazarus, come forth"? Because if he had just said, "Come forth," all the dead in Christ would have come forth. But my friend, Lazarus came forth. And he gives to us an example that death is not the end. It's not the finality. It might seem like it. It might look like it. But I want you to know that whenever a saint of God dies, because of the blood applied unto their heart in salvation, they, my friend, are immediately in the presence of Almighty God. Paul said in one place, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he gives us hope we'll see our loved ones again. And he gives us hope that we're going to see the patriarchs. And he gives us hope that we're going to see the disciples. And we're going to see all those that bore the gospel. All people that died having had the blood and having washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. They'll run. That's a reason to run. Because of Jesus, keeping your eyes upon him. And then it says, and they'll walk and not faint. Walk and not faint. We walk through this world, and sometimes we feel like, just what's the use? What's the use? But they that wait upon the Lord, the Bible says, will renew their strength. They'll be able to go through these things. You'll be able to go through these things that we spoke about this morning. And I want you to know that there's no greater friend that you can have than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater one that can give you strength than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful that we have him as an advocate, as a mediator, as a high priest, as a friend. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he is a friend today that the Bible says, no greater love hath any man than this. And think about it. No greater love hath any man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And you know what he did? He called us all friends. He laid down his life for us. He tasted of death. He tasted of the judgment that you and I deserve. And I want you to know he did it willingly. And he'll give strength today. God bless you. I love you with all my heart. And you know why I love you? Because I'm related to you. Now don't go back looking through your genealogy. And don't go back looking and say, Kofor, was there ever a Kofor in our lineage? I've had people say that to me. But today I love you. You're related to me. I'm related to you. How is that, Brother Kofor? We're not even bonded. You know, we have no relatives. Oh yes, we do. We've got an elder brother. You've got an elder brother. That makes us kindred spirits, brothers, and you know that's why they say brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why they say that. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I know you've got heartaches. I know you've got troubles. And I'm a part-time pharmacist now, and when people come in sick, it just, you know, I just get so, I wish I could help them more. I wish I could help them more. I wish I could do more for them. And I'll even call people up and ask them, how are you doing? How's the medicine working for you? You have any side effects? Anything you need, you call me. But I want you to know there's one that loves you even more. And my friend, he's there. And he'll be with you. And when you get tired and discouraged and just full of doubt and everything, just turn to him and renew your strength. And you will mount up like an eagle. And you'll soar right over the problem. Now, the problem may still be there, but it won't be affecting you. God bless you.